We're going to be in the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. It's a great psalm. The word says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all your lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You for the gifts, the many gifts that You've given us, starting with salvation. Father, You didn't have to, but the Word says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So Lord, today we come to celebrate. We come to say thank You for everything that You've done in our lives, God. I ask today that You have Your way in this service, that You speak to Your people. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the church said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe that living in the United States, we have so very much to be grateful for. More things than we can even fathom. You know, this country is not perfect, by no means. But by far, this is still the greatest country in the world. We need to be thankful. There's some folks, they can't meet like this. They can't carry a Bible. They're either in prison or they're killed. But yet we can come freely and rejoice because of the liberties this country gives us. Amen? I'm reminded of the wealthy Texan who was in the habit of giving his father unique gifts every Father's Day. One year was hang gliding lessons. The year before, it was the entire record collection of Slim Whitman's hits, autographed by the singer himself. But this past year, he had outdone himself. He purchased a rare kind of South American bird called the translator. This bird could speak 5 languages and sing the Yellow Rose of Texas in any key while standing on 1 foot. That's a bad bird. The talented bird cost $10,000. But he felt it was worth every penny, the son. This would be the Father's Day gift his dad would never forget. A week after Father's Day, he calls his father. Hey, Dad, how did you like the bird? His father responded, it was delicious. Now that is an expensive meal. Amen. Woo. Francis Schaeffer once said, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. Nowhere in that sentiment more eloquently expressed than in W.E. Hensley's famous poem entitled Invictus, which is Latin and it means unconquered. It is a testimony to the unconquerable human spirit. It is an image that of a person standing at the gates of hell, unafraid, because he thinks he's sufficient in himself. You've likely heard the final stanza which says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my own fate. I am the captain of my own soul. How well this summarizes the sentiment of our day. It is an attitude that sees oneself as a source of strength, as a source of happiness, and as a source of prosperity. We as Christians are influenced by this sentiment and live with the ever-present danger of thinking that we are or have what we have solely because of what we have done. It is an attitude that runs against the scriptural teaching and is inconsistent with the Spirit-filled life. Those of us who know Jesus, who have been born again, washed in His blood, given the gift of eternal life, should never, never give in to this sentiment. We have so much for which to be grateful. We have the gospel, the good news, and the privilege of sharing it with the rest of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here in the 100th Psalm, we are given in instructions to thank the Lord for who He is and what He has done. We are told how to thank Him, when and where to thank Him. Let's take a look at this passage and then draw some practical applications we can put into practice in our own lives. There are five verses we'll examine. Number one, He's worthy. I said He's worthy of your praise. You know, we're finicky. I said we're finicky. You all got to talk to me. And the reason we're finicky is we thank God when He blesses us. You get that promotion. You get that raise. You get that new car. Man, you're praising Him. Thank you, Jesus. So on and so on. But how come we don't thank Him in the valleys? You know, He said He's a very present help in times of trouble. You're not thanking Him for the valley, but you're thanking Him for what He's going to do in the midst of that valley and where He's going to take you. Amen? Because I'm here to tell you today that the valley is just a stepping stone to your blessings. Somebody needs to say, thank you, Jesus, right now. The King James says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Kaufman Kohler states in the Jewish Encyclopedia that no language has as many words for joy and rejoicing as does the Hebrew. In the Old Testament, 13 Hebrew roots found in 27 different words are used primarily for some aspect of joy or joyful participation in religious worship. Hebrew religious rituals demonstrate God as the source of all joy. Now, some of you believe that your wife is the source of your joy. Some of you think your husband is the source of your joy. Well, you're wrong. Some of you think what you drive is, your bank account is the source. But my Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. That's where your joy is at. It's in Him. Can I get an amen? Pure joy is joy in God as both its source and object. The psalmist says, you reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. In your right hands are eternal pleasures. We are to express our gratitude to the Lord in an audible and public manner. Make a joyful noise. The word noise means to break forth with or to burst. You're to be excited about the Lord. Do you remember when you first got saved? Oh, you got selective thinking, you don't remember? You were fired up. Amen. You were telling everybody about Jesus. But not no more. Why is that? Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're looking for it somewhere else, you're not going to find it. You know, the power companies, they like Thanksgiving. They send you a bill. And if you don't pay that bill, you get another notice, a notice of disconnection. And the way they know you're thankful is when you pay that bill. Well, the reason why a lot of us Christians have no power is because we're not a very thankful people. Rev up your thanksgiving and you'll rev up the power of God in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, I've been a professional sporting events and I've seen the emotions that people express when somebody makes a good play. They get excited. They get enthused. Do you know the history of the word enthused? It comes from a Greek word that means to be possessed by God. That's a good person to be possessed by. If that's the case, the people in churches today should be possessed by God with thanksgiving because he's been good to you. But we take things for granted. We act like he owes us. He owes us nothing. I tell myself, he owed you nothing. You were about to bust hell wide open. But Jesus. People aren't going to hell because they sinned. They're going to hell because they didn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you realize what he gave you? Do you realize that it was God? Not the president, not the pope, not a senator. But God got on that cross over 2,000 years ago and died for you. Died for every sin. Paid the penalty and the price. Man, when you wake up every morning, you just need to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you for saving my kids. I want to thank you for saving my grandkids. Amen? Look at verse 2. It says, he's worthy of service. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his face with a joyful song. Now some of y'all say, well, I can't sing. He said, make a joyful noise. Go ahead and sing. Service to the Lord implies three things. Humility. You can't serve someone unless you have a humble attitude. Fidelity. A service implies faithfulness. Otherwise, it would not be service, but betrayal. And number three, activity. You can't serve someone if you don't do anything. Many people think that service to God is confined to the pastors. But Scripture tells us that all who know him as Lord and Savior are ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God is more concerned with what we are than what we do. Because what we are will determine what we do. When God was giving the law to the Israelis in Deuteronomy 28 and 47, he told them they would be cursed if they did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You know why I thank God today? I thank you for Jesus. Because my Bible says that Jesus became a curse for me. Somebody needs to thank him right now. Amen. So many people claim to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But they live lives that are devoid of joy or gladness. That's because they have focused on the wrong things. Some serve the Lord, but it's very grudgingly. Their attitude asks, what do I have to do this for God? Haven't I done enough already? Wow, really? These folks honestly think they have paid their debt to God and that somehow God owes them something. You can never pay your debt to God. Jesus paid it for you. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. I said, you don't have to pay your debt to God because Jesus Christ paid your debt for you. That's why you need to be grateful. That's why you need to be thankful. A lot of them are blind to the blessings of God and to how undeserving we really are. In and of ourselves, of our flesh, we don't deserve nothing. But Jesus Christ makes us deserving in the Father's eyes. Amen? The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You, my brother, you, my sister, are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Turn and tell your neighbor, did you know you're the righteousness of God? Amen. I like how John Maxwell puts it. He says, the instant we are born, we've already owed someone for 9 months of room and board. And we never really pay that back. Maxwell is a bad man. We never do enough to say thank you to our Lord. We are not to serve the Lord with a grudge. We're to serve Him with gladness. It is easy to do this if you remember what verse 3 tells us. It tells us that He and He alone is God. It didn't say ESPN is God. It didn't say the Yankees are God, even though that's God's team. Thank you, Jesus. Nessa, I need you right now. Amen. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. No one else deserves our service like He does. He is God. He must be first in our lives. Before our career, before your family, before your children, before your wife, before your desires, before everything, God must be first. He said He'd have no other God before Him. See, people put things backwards. That's why they don't get the blessings. Who wants the blessings? Raise your hands. And for those of you that don't, we'll have an altar call for not being truthful. It's easy. Listen to what the Word says. Be a doer of the Word. The Word works if you work the Word. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And all. Somebody say all. These blessings, they're going to run you over. But you got to seek Him first. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ alone is our motivation for service with gladness. This is how we can live with an attitude of gratitude. Because the Lord we serve is God. He made us and we are His. This is a stinging rebuttal to the thought that we may give ourselves credit for the blessings that fill our lives. Yeah, preacher, but I work hard. I'm sure you do, and you should, because you represent Christ on that job. But let me tell you, who gave you that job when there was 50 more people more qualified than you? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Thank God for His favor. Who gave you the health so you could show up at work? So that's who we're to be thankful. The Bible says that all good things, somebody say all good things, come from above. It doesn't come from you, your mama, your husband, because you've been buddy buddies with the boss. It comes from God. Amen. He made us and we are His. Amen. We have no claim, no right to our own lives. They belong to Jesus Christ. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We are His representatives here on earth. And as His sheep, He leads us. And He provides for us. And He guides us. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. You can't go wrong. You might come up to a few potholes in your life and a few detours, and you might have some storms in your life. But like I said earlier, you got to thank God in the storms, because He's not only the God of the high blessings. He's the God when you're feeling down, when it feels like all hell's broke loose in your life. He's a very present help in times of trouble. And He's trying to teach you something. And once you learn the lesson, because He said that He would take you from glory to glory, meaning He would constantly improve you. He started the good work. He'll finish it. What He's trying to tell you, don't thank me for this storm, but thank me, boy, because what I'm going to do in this storm, I'm going to bless you. Ooh-wee. Who wants the blessings of God? Amen. Oh man, six people. Let's do it again. Who wants the blessings of God? Because those of you that don't want it, Lord, give them to me. Amen. Greedy Mike. Amen. Amen. As his sheep, he leads us. He provides for us. He guides us, comforts us, protects us, prospers us. And prosperity is more than money. You could have all the money in the world, but if you don't have a house, it ain't no good. Come on, somebody. You need to have total prosperity. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God of your provision, your total provision, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially. Somebody thank him in this house. Come on. Man, he's good. You know, I sort of have a problem with the word in the 100th Psalm. And you say, boy, you better come right. Well, it says the Lord is good. I don't agree with that. I believe the Lord is great. Amen? I mean, just think of the worst time you ever had, and he was good to you. He was there in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your hard times, when you thought you couldn't make it another day but Jesus. I like that song that the songwriter wrote, that, you know, he's with you in the mountaintops and in the valleys. Andre Crouch, and he said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. That's what it did for you. You're stronger. You're better. You're wiser. You're even better looking because of Jesus. Come on, somebody. An ancient Chinese proverb said that when you drink from the stream, remember the spring. If we drink from the stream of his goodness, we must remember that he is the font of every blessing. Now look with me at verse 4. He is worthy of our praise. The word says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Israel could only experience the presence of God through the Ark of the Covenant. That's where God resided. But now, because of Jesus, he lives in you and he lives in me. You are the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is inside of you. Everywhere you go, you're taking him with you. Amen? Why do you ladies think you get them good deals? You think you're a great shopper? No, his favor goes before you. Come on. See, we can't escape his presence. Our attitude should always be one of thanksgiving and one of praise. We are to be thankful and to bless his name. Praise and bless. Normally, the blessing is transferred from the greater to the lesser. And throughout the Old Testament, you find people seeking God's blessing. You recall the story of Isaac's son Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God. He tells the angel that he won't let go of him until he blesses me. That is a boy with tenacious faith. That you're going to tell an angel of the Lord, I ain't letting you go. This was a blessing that would bestow abundant and effective life upon the person. Thus it was given from the greater to the lesser. And it was normally a blessing for the future. But the ancient Hebrew understood one thing about this blessing for abundant or effective living. Who wants to live an abundant and effective life? Amen. It could only come from God. So when the blessing is being directed towards God, it is not with the view of bestowing it, but of acknowledging that he alone could grant it. It becomes a description, an expression of thanksgiving, a recognition that he was the sole source of a rich and meaningful life. Just think of where you were when you got saved. Where would you be right now if you didn't get saved? Some of you would be in prison. Some of you would be at the bar. Some of you would be at the crack house. Some of you would be in rehab. But Jesus, he set you free. And look at you now. Look at you now. You're a success. You're a winner because of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You might say, well, I'm not as successful or as good looking as Pastor Victor. You're probably not. But pray. Miracles happen. Amen. But here's the thing. Don't judge yourself by other people. If you will be faithful in little, God said he would make you ruler over much. But are you faithful in little? Some of you seen Brother Mike pull up in that BMW and you got celoso. Some of you saying, what does that mean? Jealous. I can go both ways because I'm a Mexican and an Irish can. It is what it is. But the thing about it is you got to be grateful for what you have now. You don't even wash the Volkswagen. You haven't taken it for an oil change since Moses gave the law. When the scripture tells us to bless the Lord, it is telling us that we must profess, acknowledge, accredit, recognize. You know, people say, why? You need to confess it. Speak it out loud. Well, we're not all loud like you, Pastor. I know it. That's okay. But I seen some of you quiet folks at the Dodger game. At the Raider game. And God knows, why would you scream there? Oh, dang. Miss us, start the car, bro. It's going to be a fast exit. When we understand about God, we have no choice but to give thanks. To give thanks. Because whether we acknowledge or not, he's been good to us. He's been good to us in the bad times, in the good times. You say, well, you keep saying the bad times. Yeah, look at you. Now you're a great man of faith. And you're a great woman of faith. I was blessed on Wednesday. I heard Mike Vasquez. He was giving some of his testimony. And I think of where he started and where he is now. And you rejoice in what God, the power of God can do in a life. This is a man that was acting a fool, was not serving. And I thought, Lord, he would have never been no cop, acting a fool the way he did. And he was doing that. But he had a father and a mother that wouldn't probably stop praying. He comes to Christ and he loses a baby. I was sitting there and I was tearing up because I said, God, you've done a great thing in that man's life. He still loves you. He went through a lot, but he came out on the right side. He still praises you. He still magnifies your name. And God has blessed his life. Somebody give the Lord a praise in this place. See, it's hard to be in right relationship with God without being thankful. This is a natural result of a proper understanding of who God is and what he has done. If you are living without this gratitude, you are living with the deception that you or someone else is responsible for the good things in your life. Gratitude displayed is the evidence of a proper understanding of who God is. If you want to know why he's worthy of our praise, look at verse 5. God is good. Turn and tell three people, God is good. For the Lord is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. And here's why we are to give praise to God. Here we are told why we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to serve him with gladness. He is good. He has mercy on us. His truth is without end. Mercy. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The mercy of God. We don't deserve it. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? Amen. It takes a little more than a brief trip to a third world country to realize the great blessings we have as a nation and as individuals have received. I remember I had just turned 19 and I landed in Southeast Asia. And when I landed there, I said, oh my God. This place is jacked up. You know what? I said it earlier, but we have so much to be grateful for in this country. And people have the nerve to talk about it. Just go live in some of these third world countries for a month, and you'll be crying to come back home. Amen? We need to thank God for this country. And we need to thank God for the men and the women that died for this country. Or have lost an arm, lost a leg. I remember after a basic training in Fort Ord, I went to Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. And I took combat medic training with the Green Berets. And I already saw what I was about to see more of. A lot of people were coming back from Vietnam. Pretty bad. That's the days of big afros. I love big afros, but I could never have one. But I believe, and all things are possible to them to believe. But I seen a African-American guy with a big afro. But I was ashamed of how I felt. He was hit with a phosphorus grenade, so you not only blow up, but you burn. So he had holes in his faces, and he was all pink. And I have never seen a mass that scary. Those people paid a price for you and for me. Can I get an amen? Amen? Allow me to make three simple suggestions that I think will help you gain and maintain an attitude of gratitude in your life. Take note. This means to live with awareness. As Americans, we're so often tempted to see nothing but our own reality. It takes little more than, like I said earlier, a brief trip to a third world country. Take note, because open your eyes to the world around you. It will shock you, but it will also cause you to be grateful. Take inventory of your blessings. I said, take inventory of your blessings. You all have a lot to be thankful for. You've all been blessed with a lot. Thank God for your wife. Thank God for your husband. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your job. Thank God for that boss that gets on your last nerve. God ain't going to change it till you start thanking him for him. I remember one time, and this guy went to church, and he was a walking devil. And I thought, my God. Because this guy was rough. And God says, you can keep complaining to me. Or you can start thanking me for him and see what happens. Thank God. He resigned and left and went somewhere else to work. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Take inventory of your blessings. I like the old song it's called Count Your Many Blessings. When life's billows, you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Have you stopped to count the blessings in your life? Many of us have a tendency to focus on what's wrong and what gives us a distorted picture of life. If we focus on the wrong things, we will never see the good things. But we spend too much time focusing on what's wrong. What's wrong? What we don't have. Why don't you be thankful what you do have? Focus on what's good. If you're sitting by your husband or wife, tell them, thank God for you. And some of you that are single and you're looking for your rib, turn and talk to the air by you. I thank God for you. Hey, that's Bible. You're calling things that aren't as though they are. Amen. Just want to be like my daddy. Amen. Take action. Turn your attitude of gratitude into the action of appreciation. Do something for someone else. God has given you plenty. Share it. God didn't give it to you solely for your benefit. He placed it in your hand to see what kind of servant you will be. He gave you all you have so you can be His person, His ambassador. Amen? Jesus says that when we act in kindness, blessing others, with even as much as a cup of cold water, it is as though we have done it unto Him. A rich man once asked his friend, "Why am I criticized for being cheap? Everyone knows I will leave everything to charity when I die." "Well," said the friend, "let me tell you about the pig who lamented to the cow one day about how unpopular he was." Nobody liked the pig. "People are always talking about your gentleness and your kind eyes," he said to the cow. "Sure, you give milk and cream, but I give more. I give bacon and ham. They even pickle my feet." Remember those jars? Man, I'm dating myself now. "Why is this?" The cow thought for a moment and replied, "Maybe it's because I give while I'm still living." Show your appreciation to God by how you serve Him, by what He has given you. I'm closing, and in closing, on April 30th, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln read this proclamation for a national day of fasting and prayer. This is part of what he said. "We have been the recipients of choice bounties of heaven. We have been presented the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which gave us peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sin, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." How about you? Does your life presently demonstrate a sense of gratitude to God? When others see you, are they aware that you live your life for someone else whom you owe a great debt that can never be paid because Christ paid it for you? You know, the truth of it is, folks, all of us have been ungrateful at one time or another for something, be it small or big. We have felt it was owed us. It wasn't. And we all have a lot to be grateful for. You know, I talked about the blessings of God, what we have to be thankful for a lot. But you know what else we need to be thankful to God for? What didn't happen in our lives. We need to be thankful because some people lost their jobs. Some people didn't get up this morning. We need to be thankful for what didn't happen also. We need to be grateful. And I personally believe in my heart that every single man and woman in this place there's been a time in your life when you've been ungrateful, and we have a lot to come up here and thank God for. So I believe this altar call is for all of us. Come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, we bless you. We bless you and worship you.